Well, let's pray and we'll bless this offering. Father, we thank you today for all that you're doing in our lives. What an amazing, amazing God you are. What you've done thus far for Believers Fellowship, all these lives that are represented here today. So many families, Lord, I'm filled with gratitude. I'm filled with the richness of what you've done, what you've accomplished here in the kingdoms thus far. And Lord, today we just bless you with this offering. We lift it up to you as an offering of our lives, the extension of the work of our hands. We bless your name, Jesus, with it. Be honored with it, Lord, and be blessed. And may the gospel continue to spread throughout the earth through this offering. In Jesus' name, amen. If you agree, say amen. God bless you as you give. Praise the Lord. Let me tell you a little bit about our guest, our special guest here today, Dr. Paula Burt. And we've known Dr. Paula since, and her husband, Pastor Daniel, since about 2018, I think, is when we first met them at a Christ for the Nations conference up in Dallas. Dr. Paula was born in Wichita Falls, Texas. She grew up in Petrolia, Texas, and she is the second of five children. It's a big family. She was christened at birth in the Catholic Church, but accepted Jesus as Lord and was water baptized later in the Baptist Church. You have to go to a Baptist church to get baptized, right? That's what happened to me, too. I got water baptized in a Baptist church. She was baptized in the Holy Spirit later and was about 31 years old when that happened. She was a cheerleader growing up. She was second runner-up in the Miss Wichita Falls pageant and won the title of Lady Midwestern in college. She is a graduate of Midwestern University, Rhema Bible Training Center, and she has a Master's of Divinity and a Doctor of Ministry from Oral Roberts University. She has, that's why we call her doctor. Amen. She has taught math and English in the public school system, for all you school teachers that are here today, and also founded a Christian school. She has been married to the love of her life, Pastor Daniel Burt, for over 55 years. How many?
60.
It's 60 years this year?
It'll be 61 in August.
61 in August. Glory to God. Wow. That's amazing. That's a testament to Christ. He takes all the credit. They are senior pastors of Agape Church in Wichita Falls, and they have two beautiful daughters and two amazing grandsons. She has also taught on the radio, on YouTube, and on television, airing in 22 nations or more than that now?
I don't know.
23.
23. We'll say 23. All right. She has ministered nationally and internationally in countries like Canada, Ireland, Italy, Malaysia, Taiwan, Honduras, Brazil, Philippines, Poland, South Africa, Albania, China, England, Belgium, and Singapore. Is there any place you haven't been yet, right? Under the anointing and direction of the Holy Spirit, she has seen countless emotional healings and deliverances, backs healed, legs healed, many, many children and people with stunted growth grow as much as 2 inches immediately, stage 4 cancers healed, and several dead people raised to life again. Glory to God. She's seen signs and wonders and miracles in her personal life and in the lives of those she has prayed for. Yeah, lots of miracles in your own life, right, Dr. Paul? She has truly lived a supernatural life, and I'm on them day and night now to write a book about it because it's just an amazing journey, all that God's done through them and a part of their ministry together. Praise the Lord. You know, in Ephesians 4 and verse 8, the Apostle Paul made this comment. He said, when Jesus ascended on high, he gave gifts to men. Amen? And Dr. Paula is truly a gift of God to the body of Christ. Would you give her a big welcome as she comes to minister the word today, Dr. Paula Burt?
That's you. It's going to be great.
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. My, I'd like to meet that lady. Praise the Lord. Well, Father, we just thank you for what you have today. We thank you to bring it out in the way you want it brought out, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. I wasn't sure how exactly God wants to bring this out today, but it's different, in a different way for those of you maybe who have heard me before. But many years ago, I went to a meeting, and in the meeting, the speaker shared how many times God goes back in our memory to an event that happened that has affected us for the rest of our lives. And she shared how she prayed for people, and when I got home, I said, well, God, if you do that for her and if it's real, I was kind of like somebody from whatever state it is that you got to prove it before they believe it. Is it Missouri? Well, I could have been born there, I guess. I had to prove that this is really God who does things this way. And I sat down in the floor by myself and I began to ask God. You see, I had a problem. If I had an authority figure who was a big man with a big voice, all they had to do is look at me wrong and speak to me hard. Supposed to be the example to the kids of how to be strong and all of this. And my principal could have me in tears. And I asked God, God, was something said or done before I was born that affected me? Nothing. I said, well, what about when I was a year old? I knew my dad was in the war. I didn't get to see him till I was almost two. And I thought, did anything happen? Nothing. Well, what about when I was three, God? Nothing. Now, this lady said God talks, so I'm expecting something. And then I said, well, God, what about five, six, seven? Well, I got to 10, and I'm beginning to think, this just isn't real. And then I thought, well, I might as well go on. So I said, what about when I was 14? And all of a sudden, the anointing, like right now, all of a sudden, I saw myself as 14. I started to school when I was 5. I'd learned to read at 4, so they put me in school. And at 14, my home ec teacher asked me to go out to her husband, who was the superintendent, big man, 6'5", big voice, who was visiting with the driver of the bus, and ask him for the car keys. And I said, ma'am, he's got somebody out there he's talking to. She said, oh, they're just talking. It's okay if you go out there. Well, I got about as far as me to this lady, and he turns and yells at me, little lady, don't you ever walk up on me when I'm talking. Now get out of here and get out of here now. My God, I was had a lot of problems being shy to start with, and boy, that didn't help. So I went back in, and she said to me, did you get the keys? And I said, no, he told me to get out of there. So I went somewhere where I could cry quietly, and when I got home, I was sitting out on the cellar. And my mother came out and said, Paula, what is going on? Are you okay? And I told her just a little bit of what happened. She yanked off her apron. She was getting ready to go take care of that superintendent. She said, nobody's going to talk to someone who never creates a problem like you in that way. And I said, Mom, I got to work this out. So she didn't go. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus, to touch my throat right now. Thank you, Lord. So to make a long story short, he never seemed to know what he had done to me. So I thought, well, if I act kind of depressed, he'll feel bad about it. And he'll ask me to forgive him. But you know what? He never did. And I kind of forgot about it. And then I graduate from college, and the vice president of Midwestern called the superintendent at Wichita Falls and said, there's a girl I want you to interview, and I want you to hire her. So I went in to see him. He had that deep voice. I lost my voice when I heard his. I couldn't even talk. And I had to whisper. And he said, "Do I scare you that bad?" I said, "Just a frog in my throat." Well, they hired me to teach geometry in high school English without knowing if I could talk or not. I got hired. But then I have an encounter with the principal. And they put a kid in my room that had never had algebra. And you've got to have algebra to do the geometry. And he wasn't smart to start with, so he had problems. And I said, "Honey, they've got you in the wrong class. That's why you can't understand what we're doing. I'm going to send you to the counselor, and we're going to get you where you belong." Well, I get a notice from the principal to come to his office when school's out. He said, "Now, Mrs. Burt, you can't have all the smart kids." And I said, "What are you talking about?" He said, "The counselor said you kicked him out of your room because he wasn't smart." Well, I had a brother that was born not smart. He had been the one I took care of. There's no way I was going to treat a child like that. But I couldn't tell him. All I could do was cry. So I get home, and Daniel wants to know what's wrong. I tell him he's ready to go beat him up. I said, "No, I got to work this out." Well, this is what God begins to show me. And I thought God was going to just hold me and say, "Bless your heart." But he didn't. He said, "Paula, you were a born-again believer, and you did not forgive the original, the principal, the superintendent, rather." And it just broke my heart because, you know, I'd had an attitude towards that man. I was 31 then. So from 14 to 31, I could not have said really nice things about my superintendent. And yet he was a good guy. He had just yelled at me. But my problem was I did not forgive. And it caused reactions in life. It caused people to have a reaction to me. And when I got that straight, I have never felt yelled at, even though I have been, I'm sure. But I could never have been a woman minister in our area had God not set me free. But shortly after that, God began to bring people to me and ask me to pray for them. And we get a call that this alcoholic man needs help. He's in our home group, and he's getting ready to come. And I said, "Daniel, you got to take care of this one." I was raised with no alcohol in the family, in a town where you couldn't sell it, and in a county even where there was no alcohol. I knew nothing about it, never been around it. I doubt I could have even told you if I smelt it because I didn't know what it was. But he has a family of 11 boys and one girl, and everybody drank, I think. So I knew he knew how to deal with it. And he said, "Paula, there's one thing I've learned. Only Jesus can set an alcoholic free." And he said, "So you've got to tune in to the Holy Spirit." Because from the time I had the encounter with God, the gifts began to work even more. And we had been in a meeting with Frances Hunter, and after she prayed for me, they really started operating, and people started coming. And so this night, I'm getting ready for company to come, cleaning my kitchen. And I said, "God, you didn't train me this way. You told me to major in math, English, and secondary education. Counseling and alcohol were nowhere around." And God, all of a sudden, began to sing the song the Spirit of the Lord is now upon me. And all I could do was weep and fall on the floor. And it felt like a heavy blanket came around my shoulders. And I just wept in his presence. And when the man and his wife came in, I began to see and hear and know things that was impossible. And God did a work. But the word got out. People came from 250 miles around. I got burned out. I didn't want to pray for another person. And God began to heal me. And he said, Paul, I'm going to send you around the world. And you're going to talk to them like you're a counselor. You're going to share just like I'm doing. And he said, I'm going to cause your testimonies to touch the hearts of different people. And I'm going to heal while they sit there. I have seen the most beautiful miracles that anybody could see. Just from people being here like you are and opening their heart and saying, God, if I need to be healed, let me know. Heal me. He'll talk to you. And then I pray in a prayer line, and the work is done. When I went to get my doctorate, I didn't know what to do for the big deal we do with the last year. And he said, well, do what you love to do. Well, what I love to do is what I'm doing right now. So they helped me organize it. I had to go into 3 different churches. I had to preach 3 sermons. I had to minister to each one. And then they had to let me know what happened. And my professor said, Paula, what are you going to do if nobody gets healed or nobody gets delivered? And it shocked me. I just looked at him and I said, well, I never thought about that. I cannot imagine sharing Jesus and sharing that Jesus is the healer. Jesus is the deliverer. Jesus is the only one that knows us inside out, and he loves us. And he wants us whole because he lives inside of us. We're his temple. And nobody wants to live in a temple that's all broken up. He wants his temple whole. And then wherever we go, we see God do things. I've had the privilege of going in the bank and having someone all bent over with their back. And get to pray, and God healed them right there in the bank. I pulled over at the side of the road because I saw somebody pass out. I run over there, and she's having a grand mal seizure. I speak in the name of Jesus, and she instantly comes out. Everybody else is freaking out. I go into a room full of people with a lady who goes to our church because her husband just had a heart attack and she needs to apply for help. And it's so busy, and I didn't have time to be the one who had to take her, but I was the only one who could drive at that point where she was. And I'm sitting there thinking, oh God, you gotta help. There's so many people and we're at the bottom of the list. She has a grand mal seizure right there. She screams. For some reason, there's a scream that comes out many times, collapses in the floor. I jump down beside her and begin to command it to stop and the devil to come out. And the whole room emptied. And we were the next ones in. And she came out of the seizure instant, where normally it would be almost 24 hours before she would be completely free. You see, we serve an exciting God. Yes. And it doesn't matter if we think we're shy. He can take the shyness out of us. It got to where every time I went to a meeting, I got a scripture that said Psalms 28, 1, the righteous of God are as bold as a lion, and I have become Holy Ghost bold. Well, when I was preparing to come here, the Holy Spirit began to deal with me. You all have got a new church. It's like a new beginning. You are ready to begin something right when the Spirit of the Lord is ready to move, ready to build His churches, ready to release anointings and healings like never before. You need to be whole, everybody, so that we can do what God has for us to do. And some people, God's already made whole. But you need to be better trained. You need to get a vision. How can you use me, God? So whatever you're in here for, maybe it's someone you've been praying for, and now you're going to know how to pray. But there's a scripture in Song of Solomon that he gave me, the 2nd chapter and the 15th verse. And I love the way y'all have this at the back. It says, take us the foxes that spoil the vines, for our vines have tender grapes. In one of the chapters I read, one of the translations, it says, catch for us the little foxes that ruin the vineyards. It is the little bitternesses, the little unforgiveness, the little things that we've forgotten, but our body is reacting to them, that God says ruin the fruit of our Christian walk. You find somebody who's got bitterness, and you'll get in a conversation with them, and they always begin to talk negative. They'll have something critical to say about everybody. They will be upset with things all the time. That's a little fox that ruins your testimony. Because if somebody has been hurt by a Christian and they listen to you talking in a negative way, then their next thought is, well, I guess they're all alike. No, we've just developed habits that God wants to change. And sometimes it takes healing to get that. When we get into bitterness, it leads into resentment. Then it leads into a lot of self-pity sometimes. And it will come from things that happen to us that don't seem fair. I mean, that wasn't fair what happened to me. I was obeying my teacher. But what I didn't know was the bus driver had come to see the superintendent because he had whipped his boy so hard that he had black and blue bruises. And he came up there ready to knock the superintendent out. And I walked in on all of that emotion. You know, Nellie, everything that causes hurt, if we knew the whole story behind it, we would have more compassion instead of the anger. And that's what I see that many times God is wanting to show us. I want to go to Hebrews, the 12th chapter. And it says, looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. When there's unforgiveness in a home, the children are defiled. They are affected. Daniel and I had an evangelist friend that we really loved. We admired him and his wife for where they went and the conditions that they had to survive in to bring the gospel of Jesus. But they could not eat a meal without criticizing another church. And they had a root of bitterness. And do you know what it was? The churches very often are generous to build fantastic buildings. They're generous to take care of their own people. But they don't give to the evangelist who doesn't have a church, who doesn't take up tithes and offerings. They can only go if they're sent. And the churches, when one time he was having a special thing in Pakistan, and he needed like, I don't know if it's $5,000 extra dollars, and he called these churches that had the money, that had over $100,000 in a savings, and they wouldn't give him a dime. And we wrote out the check for it. And that was all we had at our church. But the people didn't have that heart for evangelism. And it caused this evangelist to become bitter. And it caused doors to be closed to him. But that's what happens with bitter people. You don't enjoy their presence because of it. And so God wants to cause us to become aware and to get healed. And many times we struggle because we don't understand. It's our job to forgive. It's God's job to punish. We're not to be the ones who punish the ones who hurt us or wound us. We're to be the ones who forgive and put it in God's hands. When the Bible says to forgive, it means you put it off. You put it away from you. Boy, I'm not going to let that event affect me. I am going to release it to God, and God is faithful. You know if you've forgiven or not if you're looking to see has God got them yet. If you're looking to see if God has gotten them, you still hadn't forgiven. You're wanting them to be punished still, and you're doing it wrong. And if you sow unforgiveness, you're going to reap it. People are not going to forgive you either. And unforgiveness can bind us. It can bind us to the person who's hurt us. It can bind us to the organization. If you are a person who works for a company and the company has been unkind, the company has mistreated you, promoted people that you should have got the promotion for, taken credit for what you invented, they have used it for their credit. If this type of thing has happened, you can have a resentment there. And it's got to be dealt with because it will draw things to you. When we got the baptism of the Holy Spirit, we moved to Little Rock, Arkansas. And the gifts of the Spirit, as I said, were just beginning to work. And we were, by this time, going to a charismatic church. And in this church, they had a little problem if God wanted to use a woman. Now, they had a procedure. If you got a word of knowledge, you would share it at the end of the worship or at a quiet time. You wouldn't interrupt the preacher or anything like that. So God starts showing me who he's healing, what he's healing. And I would wait till the right time. I would stand up and I would say, like one day we had a baby that everybody had been praying for and the baby wasn't healed. And I was seeing a picture of an organ in the baby's body. The doctors and everybody were treating the wrong thing. And so I shared what God showed me was healing. That's all I said. Sat down. And the preacher began to talk to Dan and said, you need to have Paula tell you what's being healed. And you stand up and tell. And Daniel said, I think God knows the difference in me and Paul. And if he wants me to do it, he'll tell me. But if he tells her, I'm not about to get involved. So they let me go ahead and keep doing this. But that little baby was instantly healed. But there were some other people that we didn't know if they got healed or not. Nobody said anything in front of the church. But they would call me the next day. There was a man from Vietnam. His knee had been blown up in a bomb. And I had seen a knee being healed. I knew which knee it was, and I shared it. And that man was instantly healed. He had never been in a church like that before. So the next day he found out who I was. He called me and told me what God had done. He was so excited, but the preacher didn't know. So he decided that I was just standing up doing all this. And they came, he sent the associate by to say they wanted a meeting with us after church. Well, he gets up to preach, and all of a sudden the head deacon's wife stands up and interrupts. And she said, "Sir, I've never done this before, but I feel like God says I have to do it. Said, this morning, Paul, I had a word of knowledge that someone was being healed of a tumor. She said, you know that you and all the deacons have prayed for me and nothing's happened. And I was embarrassed because of where the tumor was. I didn't want to stand up and say anything. And she said, but it's gone. I'm completely healed." She sat down and people all over the church began to share. I got healed 2 months ago. I got healed 5 months ago. I got credit for things. I wasn't the one that had the word of knowledge. Everybody was being healed. So all of a sudden, the associate pastor walks by and said, the meeting's canceled. I made a big mistake. I asked, what was it about? And they said, we were going to tell you you were a false, thought you were a false prophetess, and you were never to speak again in the church. I got wounded. That hurt. And I had to deal with it. So when you got a wound, you get an attitude. And I begin to think, why won't they let me do the way God shows me? Why do they make everything be like they want? And one day, I was just slicing tomatoes in my kitchen, and God spoke audibly. He said, if you will submit, I will use you. And I realized I had a problem. I wasn't submitting in God's eyes because of my attitude. I got my attitude right. And we went to a big meeting where everybody was at, and some people from England were over. And God healed the main speaker's wife of a condition with her foot. And the pastor comes up to me later and says, anything God tells you to do, you can do, and you may do it the way God tells you. We moved one. But see, I had to be healed. And we can be wounded by the church. We can be wounded by the people in the church. Sometimes you feel like everybody's a clique and you don't click with them. And that leaves you out. So you get negative feelings, bitterness. And this is one thing that's important. God's moved you into a new area. Do you have any wounds from your church when you grew up as a child? Wherever you went when you got spirit-filled? If you do, today's the day to get that right. To release every pastor, every song leader, everyone who wouldn't let you teach, everyone who wouldn't let you be on the music team, everyone who didn't recognize your value, we got to let it go. Because it causes us to be critical about our past. And if we are critical about our past, we damage our future. And many times there are people that never get to step out in the fullness of the gifts of God because they refuse to forgive the church. And what about God? Have you been mad at God? Daniel said to me one day, Paula, you're mad at God. And I said, I am not. He said, just listen to your tone of voice. You're blaming God. I have blamed God. You know, Daniel will say, Paula never did this, Paula never did that. I did it for all of us. But there's another sin just as bad as having drank or smoked or danced or whatever you thought. That was what we thought was sin. Eat, overeat, whatever. And that's being self-righteous. I was self-righteous before God. And one day I came before him and I said, God, I hadn't done this, I hadn't done that, I hadn't done that. I tried to obey you. And he said, Paula, you're just like Gomer. I knew who Gomer was. She's the bad girl. When we read the Bible in our house, we didn't even read the word that described her. We had to say the H woman. We couldn't say it. It was that bad. And I want you to know I was on my knees talking to God because I didn't want him to knock me down when I told him how he'd failed me. But my eyes sprang open. I said, God, you know I hadn't done that. He said, Paula, I am only God when you need me. He said, Daniel's your God. Your children's your God. Your school's your God. Your work. But if you have a need, then I'm God. Because I'm the only one who can meet it. And it broke my heart. If you have a friend who's betrayed you, or walked away from you, or a husband, or a wife, or gone through any of that type of hurt, can you imagine how a holy God must feel? When he died for us, he took the pain he took. He suffered. He went to hell. The Bible says he took our everything for us. What do you think a holy God feels when we betray him? When we have another God besides him? It broke my heart. And when I got through weeping, I said, God, is there something more than what I know as a Baptist? And that's when he baptized me in the Holy Ghost and gave me a prayer language and brought me into a place of healing and anointing and began to show me, you forgive, you let go of these things, and you share it with my people. For I am going to heal wherever you go. Now, when I'm in church, if you ever watch me on Facebook, I preach just like a normal preacher. You know, we go through the Bible. But when I travel, I go into the gifts, the calling that he has on my life. I had the privilege of praying for little children that were described as midgets. I've watched God grow them instantly. When the television came and wanted to video it, the cameraman was weeping because they saw what God did. God is a good God all the time, not just some of the time, all of the time. And he loves us. And no matter how old we are, he loves us. We first started our church, we had an outstanding work with the nursing home. And the young lady that was our nursing home preacher would lead people 90-something years old to the Lord, to repentance, to weeping before God. And they would die maybe 48 hours later. God cares no matter how old we are and how long we've hurt. He wants us whole. When we were in Ireland, we got to go to one church that I hadn't been there in 25 years. So they're already getting older, as I am. And God brought people there that night. Many of them had been sexually abused by their dads, their uncles, their big brothers. Many of them had been wounded by the priest at their church. And God brought them up and set them free of the wounds and the hurts and the bitternesses that they had. It was the most beautiful thing. One man called the pastor afterwards and said, "I didn't know you could be set free so easy." He said, "But it was like whatever was on my back snapped off and I was set free." And before we got out of town, there were at least three people that shared, "God set me free." And that's what he wants to do today, is set us free. I wanted to see, there were a couple of scriptures. I told you the one in Galatians that says, whatever we reap, whatever we sow, that we're going to reap. In 1 Corinthians 11:31, it says, if we'll let God judge us, if we will judge ourselves, then God doesn't have to judge us. If we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged. I tell you what, I fear God. I don't want to have him deal with me to get it right. And there's been times I've heard a sermon and I thought, oh God, I am so guilty. I have done that. Lord, let me get home and I'll take care of it immediately. Go straight into my bedroom, get on my knees. Father, forgive me. And release the people that I've held in bondage so that they can be free for what God has for them. We were praying for a woman, 72 years of age, I think. She had a diagnosis of, it's one thing, I can't think what it's called, but it, to just touch your arm would, or her body, would cause great pain. She had a COPD, I think. Her lungs were bad. Her whole body was a mess. She was on oxygen. And Daniel went to pray for her. And he made a declaration. Your sins are forgiven. I declare you forgiven. And he laid his hands on her arm and ran it down. And it happened to be the arm she couldn't lay on. The next morning, it was before 6 o'clock, I get a phone call. And she said, "I was so excited, I wanted to call you at 2, but I've restrained myself." She said, "I have not been able to lay on my side and sleep for, I don't know, 20, 30 years. And she said, "But I woke up sleeping on that side." And she said, "When he declared that I was forgiven," she said, "that's what my Catholic priest says. When we go in and we make our confessions, he declares forgiven." And said it was like God said, "You are forgiven." And it was for something that had happened a long time ago. And Jesus healed her. Many people, when they let go of whatever they're holding on to, get healed of a disease, a condition, whatever. I was at a church one time and I just saw a vision and I knew what it meant was. There was a man there who had had a divorce. And the divorce had been, in his eyes, unfair. Apparently his wife had committed adultery. I don't know, his first wife. And God said, "If you will let go of it, you'll be healed of the arthritis that's in your joints." He came down to the altar in front of everybody. He said, "I know I've got the unforgiveness. I'm so angry still over what happened years ago." As he let it go, all the arthritis came out of his body and he was completely healed. We saw that happen with someone in our family that we got to pray for. She had gone through an awful divorce, a husband that was terribly unfaithful. And she had arthritis so bad that they had to give her gold to take care of the pain and everything. And apparently taking gold messes up the body, and it messes up the shape of your body. It had changed her. She suffered more from the gold, I think, than from the wounds of her heart that she had refused to forgive. And as she forgave, she was healed of the arthritis. She went to a doctor, her doctor, within the next 2 weeks. He looked at her and just shook her head. He said, if you hadn't been my patient and I didn't have your x-rays, and these toes have not been corrected, I would never believe what you have suffered and what you have gone through. Healing comes as we let go. The thing that we hold on to that God says release is the very thing that wounds us. Holding on to my superintendent's unkindness to me caused me to be unnerved. If anyone with a similar voice or a similar position spoke to me, and it's a very frustrating thing when all you can do is cry. Especially if you cry like I did. I sounded like a old cow, you know, a beller cry. It was horrible. I thought it was bad, and he thought it was bad. Well, I'm going to end with one more testimony, and then I'm going to minister. And so I want you putting it up to God. God, is there something today that I need to deal with, that you want to take from me? When we started our church, we were asked to come and pray for a man who was a deacon in the local Baptist church. Now, of course, they don't believe in healing and all of that like us, or tongues, or. But everybody was desperate. He was dying of cancer. He was skin and bones. He could die any night. And his friends were afraid that maybe he would go to hell, because they had read the scripture that says, if you don't forgive, I can't forgive you. And I will turn you over to the tormentors. And he was in torment. So Daniel speaks to him about forgiveness. And he says, I'm not going to forgive. He wasn't about to let go. We don't know to this day what it was. But he wasn't going to let go of it. Well, at that time, if we couldn't get the answer, all we knew to do was worship. So we just began to sing the old Baptist hymns that we knew. And we were singing one song, and the presence of God moved into the room. And when it did, I forgot I was in a Baptist house who didn't believe in tongues. And I forgot that everybody knows I can't sing. And I began to sing in the spirit. Daniel and I were just worshiping in the presence of God. And suddenly, I remembered. I thought, oh my gosh, we just got kicked out of the Baptist church. Now we will probably get kicked out of this Baptist man's house. And when I thought that thought, I came out of the spirit. And I opened my eyes to see if he was going to yell at me. And he was crying. He said, I don't know what that was. I've never heard that. But it sounded like angels were in this room. Can you do it again? And I can't just start singing again. So I had to ask Daniel, help me. And we started praying in the spirit and then singing in the spirit again. And he wept and wept. And when we got through, Daniel said, are you ready to forgive? He said, I am. And he forgave whoever it was. We suspected it might have been his wife, but anyway, he forgave. 48 hours later, I think, he went to meet Jesus. 2 years later, I ran into his daughter-in-law. And she said, do you remember that day? And I said, oh, yes, that was special to me. And she said, because of what happened, the whole family came together. And all of the anger, the animosity, everything was healed. And said, we became a family again because he let go of bitterness. Oh, hallelujah. Father, I just thank you for these beautiful people that are here. God, you know their wounds. You know their hurts. You know, Father, of the rejection, of the different wounds, God, that have come, not because we did something wrong or we intended, maybe. Lord, I thank you for healing. It's beginning right now to flow. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. I want to ask first, we're going to start with God. Is there anyone that you feel that God has failed you and this has hindered your growth, hindered your being able to love God and trust God? You know, when Terry Law, if you ever heard of him, he was a great missionary. He led Pope John Paul to the Lord in the baptism of the Holy Spirit in Poland. And then he became the Pope. Terry Law had been the one who had been a part of him in the whole Catholic Church being touched. And he was over in Russia bringing souls to Jesus, and his wife died in a car wreck. He was so angry at God. I heard it on tape where he said it. He said, God, I was taking care of your business. It was your job to protect my wife. He went in to see Oral Roberts. Oral had lost a son who had committed suicide. He had lost a daughter in a plane wreck. And Oral said, Terry, go home and get on your knees and don't get up until you can worship him. Until you can say, I love you, God. I don't understand, but I love you and I trust you. He said, when you can come to that place, you're going to make it. He said, that's what I had to do. Every time I had to do it. And that's what he did. So God's never the one who does anything because he's perfect. He's love. He's not a sinner. We just think like human beings and put blame. Well, sure, God knows everything, but that doesn't make him guilty. You know, I was in a wreck. A woman came across four lanes and hit us. As a result of that, my daughter has been diabetic ever since. The doctors blame the accident and the trauma on what happened to her. God had told me, get over in the other lane, but I didn't know he talked like that. And I don't have good depth perception. So I was scared. It was had started snowing and sleeting, and the road was icy. And I was on my way to church. I didn't get over. I got hit. Wasn't my fault. But God had tried to get me in another place. I didn't obey. A lot of times when we think, God should have done something. He really did. We just don't know the story of what. So what I believe God wants us right now is, number one, we're going to let go of our judgment against God. Why, God? How could you, God? Where were you, God? And number two, we're going to let go of the church that we think wounded us. Because if we're going to grow, We can't be judgmental, because what we judge, we begin to do ourselves. That's scriptural. So we're going to get that free. And the people of the church, if they didn't welcome you, if they didn't make you feel important, if they didn't let you do what you knew God wanted you to do, like that pastor not wanting me to do what I thought God was saying. I don't know why he was like that, but God changed him. So what I want to ask is, if there is someone in this, in either of these categories, wounded, we think, by God, or our attitude about God, wounded by the pastor, wounded by the leadership of a church, or by the people, will you stand up now and let me pray for you? Is there anyone? Okay. Anyone else? Okay, just three. Okay, y'all are brave. Would you come down here and let me pray? I'm going to put hands on you because I believe that there is a transfer of anointing. And young lady, the Spirit of the Lord is on you, and the love of God is deep upon you. But even before you were born, there were things that were going on in life that have caused spirits to draw to you, to hurt you, to wound you. And one of these is the spirit of rejection. But God says you're not a mistake. That sometimes man doesn't understand everything. They don't plan everything the way that would be best. But you're all a part of his plan to be the young lady that you are. And God said there is a gift of healing that's going to begin to operate through you. There is a compassion that will be upon you because of what you've gone through. You will have an understanding, even as I have an understanding of so many things because of what I walked through. God said, so will you. And he will show you how to pray. You're going to see the gift of the word of knowledge be released. And that's going to be important. But right now, those of you, let's just forgive. If it's God in your heart, say, Father, I know you're innocent. I ask you to forgive me that I blamed you, and let that go. If it's your pastor, if it's your church, if it's the people. No, right now it's church. Church and God. Okay, we're going to let it go right now, okay? Okay. I'm kind of wobbly because I had a broken ankle and I hadn't got it all back. All right, Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for the anointing that's going into her. I thank you, Father, that even healing is going into this area of her body. Father, I asked you to line up her spine and to cause everything in between my hands to be healed now. I thank you for that power of healing that's going through her right now. Oh, hallelujah. God, you see her heart. You see her heart. Now I command the spirit of pain, you come out right now in the name of Jesus. Let her go. I command all disappointment. I command all rejection. Come out right now. Let her go. Let her go all the way. All the way. All the way. For God has not failed you. He has not forsaken you. You don't understand, but it's okay. Because he loves you and he's a good God. And as you let it go and as you put your heart just on him, loving him, not what you're asking from him, not what you're believing, but just loving, you're going to watch a healing begin to flow. Father, I thank you for it right now. I just command every spirit of hurt, every wounded spirit, every spirit of disappointment, you let her go right now. Right now. I thank you, Father. There'll be a day that she will have an understanding. And I thank you for it. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. When I was a little girl, I was brought in from school. My dad had a 50-50 chance to live, and I had to come home and take care of little brothers so Mom could get to the hospital. Many years later, I discovered some things my dad was doing that was causing horrible pain in the family. And I said, God, why didn't you take him? It was a 50-50 chance. Why didn't you just let him die? And my family would be whole. And God never answered me. When my dad was 68, I got to lead him to Jesus. And God said, had I taken him, he would have split hell wide open. But now he'll be with me. And God healed our home. He healed the wounds. We don't understand the timing of God, the things that happen. But God is so good. And that's my mantra. I serve a wonderful God. God is good. God is good. God is good. He's a good God. And he has plans. His plans aren't over for you. Hallelujah. 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 Hi, Judy. Praise the Lord. Father, I thank you to release right now the disappointments. For Father, there are things in life that she has desired and they have never come to pass. I thank you for your healing virtue right now to go through all disappointment. God, I thank you that you forgive her. You forgive her, Father, that she's blamed you, that she's been angry at you. Father, even the church, I thank you to set her free. I command every spirit of bitterness to go right now. Now, every spirit that would try to say walking the way of God is not always the best, that's a lie. That's a lie. You go completely in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Thank you for your anointing that's upon her life, God. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Father, I thank you for this lady. I thank you for the anointing that's going into her now, that's releasing her from the pressures that are in her body. Father, I thank you that there's healing that will flow from the top of her head right now, even down to the soles of her feet. Father, I thank you to take the pain that's in the back, in the hips, in the lower back area that affects her legs. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father, for that healing that's flowing. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Father, I thank you that you're healing things that happened even as a baby, things that took place in the household, God, that have affected her. I thank you that you're releasing her, Lord, right now of those wounds and those hurts and that spirit of rejection. Come out in Jesus' name. Loose her right now. Come out of that area in Jesus' name. Loose her knees in the name of Jesus. I command your healing into these knees right now, God, in Jesus' name. Now, Father, I loose her from all self-judgment, all resentment against herself. Everywhere she's blamed herself, Father, I thank you she's going to be able to forgive her. We let it go. We let it go. We let it go. Now, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Father, I thank you for this beautiful lady. I thank you, God. God, sometimes it's not easy to stand up and say, God, I need you. I need you as never before. Lord, I command those roots that are here in her heart to be pulled out right now. I break the power of every spirit of abandonment, emotional abandonment, You let her go right now in the name of Jesus. Father, I thank you that all rejection must come out. God, you have not rejected her. She's not rejected. I thank you. Now I command every spirit of rejection, abandonment. You spirit that says she is not even worthy, I break your power. Come out in Jesus' name. Loose her in the name of Jesus. Let her go. Release her mind right now in Jesus' name. Father, I thank you that her female area is being set free. And God, where her womanhood has been attacked, I thank you she's being released, healed, and set free. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, I got time. Okay. All right. Now, there's two other areas that we're going to hit next. One is wounds that came from your family. Your mom, your dad, your siblings. My siblings made life hard sometimes. And it was hard enough, you know, with the mom and dad. I was always Christian because I wouldn't let them tell the dirty jokes to my little brothers and all of this. But we have to let go of those wounds. We have to forgive. I think when I forgave my older sister, it was the biggest change in my life of forgiveness. And I'd been at a meeting and they said, when you forgive, you need to call that person and say, will you forgive me? And I thought, me? I didn't do what she did, God, to me, to her. And he finished the sentence. Will you forgive me that I have not loved you like I should love you? And I knew I hadn't, because I had pulled away not to be hurt. But everywhere I went, every church we moved to, my sister was in that church, and her kids were just as bad as my sister's. And they were all attracted to me. So I prayed and I said, God, when do I call her? And he told me to wait. The next day, about 2:00, I heard now. I was in ironing, but I knew now meant go call her. So I called my sister and she was quiet when I said, will you forgive me? God has convicted me. I hadn't loved you like I should. And she said, Paula, you couldn't have got my letter. I just wrote it last night. And she wrote the letter asking me to forgive her and told me why she did some of the mean things she did. She couldn't understand why things were happening to her and it wasn't happening to me. And God healed us. And her last years of her life, she left the Catholic Church, and I was her minister. Got to be her pastor. There's a lot of things we don't understand, but we have to forgive sometimes. And what we forgive, we ask for forgiveness for, is that we didn't love them like we should have. So if maybe you're one of those, that because of wounds or hurts or how the family situation was going on, you didn't love somebody like you should have. Let's come up and get free today. Would you come down if there's anybody like that? Hallelujah. 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 Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Oh, hallelujah. The Spirit of the Lord says to you that you've been working on these things. And you've been saying, I'm sorry, and God, forgive me. And yet there's still something there. And somehow this realizing, I haven't loved God. I haven't loved her or him like I should have. It's going to be a key to set you free. And then when you think of those people, see yourself saying, God, I love them. They didn't know what they did to me. Wasn't that what Jesus said? Lord, they don't understand what they're doing. And many times family members can hurt us so bad and not understand. But we weren't understanding their hurt either. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Okay. Let's see. I want to start with this lady. Praise the Lord. There's several of you. You've said, I forgive. You've said it. God knows you have. He knows that's what you want. And he says, when you do it, when you say, I choose, I forgive, you do. But now we're pulling the roots loose. Okay? The roots that are making it hang on to you. It's like taking off a shirt and there's still being an attachment on the back. So you're walking around dragging a shirt. Hallelujah. All right, I want you to say this in your hearts. Father, I forgive. And just tell God who it is. God, I forgive them. God, they had no way of knowing the depth of my hurt. Nor do I know them. I ask you to forgive me, God, that I took offense, that I haven't forgiven like I should. I release it this day with your grace in Jesus' name. Jesus' name. Father, I thank you for a complete healing. Complete healing. I'm seeing your face, so that's where I've got to go. I'm seeing your face, sweetheart. You let it go. Father, I thank you to take the knives out of her heart. Father, for words have been spoken that have broken her heart, that have made the pain so great. Lord, I break the power and I pour in the oil of the Holy Spirit into her right now. I thank you for your healing to flow. I break the power of every spirit of rejection, abandonment, emotional abandonment. You let her go right now, in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. God loves you, sweet little girl. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. You're letting it. You're taking the roots right now. God, we just put the axe to the roots. And we say, you little foxes, you will not touch her fruit. You will not touch her future. You will not hinder what God has planned for her. God, we gather the foxes and we put them out. We destroy. We say, no more can they touch. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Oh, Heavenly Father, I thank you for the anointing. I thank you for releasing her, God, from every wound. God, we break the spirit of rejection off of her right now. In every spirit of inadequacy, which said she can never do, she can never be. God, she's who you called her to be. You make no mistakes. Thank you, Father. Thank you for the creativity that's within her. The natural giftings, I thank you to bring them loose. Now, Father, I break the power of every spirit of jealousy. You spirits that would cause people to feel jealous of her, you will not sit on her shoulders anymore and draw people to her, to hurt her or to wound her. We order it over this day. God, I thank you that you made her tall You made her slim. You made her just like you wanted her to be. Beautiful, beautiful. Hallelujah. In your kingdom, God. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. 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 Do you ride horses? Do you like horses? Or do you like that lifestyle? It's funny.
I grew up having horses.
Okay, I saw you that way in my spirit. So, Father, if there is anything that is in her past that has to do with that, if it's a desire, a wish, or if there are hurts or wounds, whatever, I thank you to take care of it for her, Lord. Take care of it right now in Jesus' name. And I break every spirit of fear. I command it to go in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Father, I thank you for this young man. I thank you, Father, that as he was bold enough to come up here, you are mighty enough to set him free. We loose him from the wounds of childhood, not just in his home and his family, God, but from those that were like a tormentor, even in school. I thank you for releasing him and setting him free right now. And Father, those that have made him question his abilities, his intelligence, we break the power of words that were spoken that affected him in a negative way. We set him free right now. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Father, we just thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Father. Let them go, son. For it is not worth holding on to. God wants to pull out every root, every hurt, every pain. And I thank you that healing is coming into his body, God, right now, in Jesus' name. For you didn't ordain for him to have any pains, any sicknesses. It's your will, God, that he walk in your divine health. Anointing, God, to bring healing to others, I pray. Oh, Father, I thank you for this lady. I thank you for your anointing and your healing that's flowing into her and through her right now. I thank you that the wounds and the hurts of so long ago can stay no more. They're coming out right now. I break the power of words that were spoken. I loose her from actions and from deeds in the name of Jesus. I set her free from the misunderstandings, even, Father God, for there were things that were misinterpreted and responded to in a wrong way. Thank you for your healing, Lord. Thank you that you set her free in Jesus' name. And Lord, I thank you to heal this area of her body in between my hands, Father God. I loose every female part of her body. I loose it into healing, God, into glow. You said, let her glow as a woman, Father God, and know that you created her to be this precious lady. Thank you, Lord. Father, thank you for this woman. Thank you for your anointing that's flowing for her right now. You're releasing her from the hurts and the wounds. Father, I don't know if it was brothers, if it was just bully boys. I don't know. But I thank you that you're setting her free right now. Healing her from all rejection, all male rejection right now. I'm breaking its power. I set her free in the name of Jesus. I cut the things off of her, Father God, that the enemy has tried to attach upon her and rob her joy all these years. Father, the joy of the Lord is her strength. So I thank you that joy is being loosed in Jesus' name. Father, I thank you. God, she's going to get all you've got for her today. I thank you for it, Lord. Thank you for that anointing, God. She's making a choice. God, when we forgive, it doesn't mean we have to run and buddy with that person, but it means our heart has got to be free. So I thank you that you're releasing her, God, from the wounds of the upbringing. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. And I don't know what it is, but your ankles and your feet, your heels, you're going to see a healing come in that area, and I'd like to hear about that. Father, I thank you. I thank you. Thank you, Lord, for your healing power. Thank you for your grace that is flowing through her. God, you're setting her free from those hurts that went so far back. And Father, I give the devil notice. You're not going to attract people to bring those wounds up. You loose her right now in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father, for your healing. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Father, I thank you for the grace that's here for my sister. Thank you that you're releasing her, Lord, right now. Every wound, Father, that came in the house where we should have been loved, accepted, and confirmed, it was different. But God, you confirm us. You heal us. We're now the family of God. Thank you, Lord, for your healing. Thank you for every root of pain to be uprooted and pulled out. Thank you, Father, for beautiful flowers to take their place. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Father, thank you. Thank you. Thank you, God, for your anointing that's flowing through her memory banks right now. For the healing that's coming to her soul, her mind, her will, her emotions. Father, I asked you to heal all the places that feel so vacant because they should have been filled with certain memories and they weren't. God, I thank you for your healing, for your grace to flow. Thank you, God. God, thank you that there'll come a day when if she has a need to mention these things, it'll be like she's talking about somebody else, for she's so whole, she's so healed. I thank you for it. And Judy, you're going to find healing right in this area. Father, I thank you. I thank you, even right above her waist. God, and flowing through the spine, I thank you for healing. Healing, divine healing. Father, I thank you for this lady. I thank you, Lord, that you're releasing her from the long-time wounds, the things that she's pushed aside. And if someone in the family wanted to talk about it, she'd say, oh, that's old, that's over, that's done. But yet, God, there was a root going down in her heart that released pain every time. Now, you spirit of depression that would try to get a hope back in her life through these memories, I order you out today. I order you to take the black cloud that has just seemed to be over her household. You go right now. We order it gone, and we release your healing in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm going to quit right here because I think God is going to finish tonight what he wants to do. I don't know if you've ever heard of what's called a bitter root judgment, but we're going to get those pulled out tonight and we're going to get some total freedom. Okay?